This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Oh, yeah. First fish fry just around the corner. We look forward to seeing you at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. We're going to do the whole show from there on Friday. The roundtable at 3. State Rep Steve Butts will be on the panel. Former state rep, and she is now an education expert. Jean Evans on the panel, along with Jane. And Ms. Duker will hang out. She's actually going to join us. Jane's going to join us a little bit later this hour to talk about the mayor's race. Unfortunately, the only... I got good news and bad news. The bad news would be that we have to put up with Tashara and her nonsense and commercials here for another month, because the runoff will be on the 8th of April. Donna Behringer joined us in the 3 o'clock hour. She beat Darlene Green, which only means that both of them will face off. But Donna, a little bit of surprising fashion, won the popular vote in that. We have this ranked voting in the city of St. Louis, which is ridiculous. So you could vote for one or all of the candidates. But Michael Butler, who was the mayoral candidate that a lot of people had hoped would squeeze in that second spot behind Kara Spencer, who's on the board of aldermen, he just couldn't get there. And Tashara is in the runoff. So that's disappointing. But I said I have good news and bad news. That's the bad news. The good news is she's toast. She's done. There's no way. And if there is a way, well, then they stuff the ballot box. We'll just say that. And I think Jane's going to agree, and we'll get with her here at the bottom of the hour. So let's talk. We have Selena Zito is going to jump on with us in just a minute from Pennsylvania. She, of course, is writing a book called Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. Selena, a great reporter who's been on the road with Trump and just traveling across the country. And she was on the stage that day in Butler when the assassination attempt took place. So she's going to jump on with us here in just a second. But let's highlight some of the things that happened last night, and I want to share some audio before we get to that. So let's keep in mind that, and there is a difference between what happened 4 years ago and last night, because some people might say, well, the Republicans sat on their hands as well. No, not for everything. We have video evidence of Republicans standing up and applauding when Joe Biden did his States of the Union addresses. You had a child cancer survivor that was not even shown any love by the Democrats. They were talking about planting a flag on Mars. Couldn't get any applause for that. Fighting crime, helping working families, catching terrorists, destroying the cartels. And then this West Point admission to me is fascinating. And this was one of the great stories of last night. You have this young man and he's in the gallery. There are a lot of people that were in the gallery last night that were chosen by the president, and other lawmakers kind of get involved as well, depending on local connections. So this is Jason Hartley, who was applying for West Point. And this is what the president shared with him last night.
Jason tragically lost his dad, who was also a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy when he was just a boy, and now he wants to carry on the family legacy of service. And his greatest dream is to attend the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. I'm pleased to inform you that your application has been accepted. You will soon be joining the Corps of Cadets.
Look at that. The great moment, and the Democrats sit on their hands. It was really... what's the word I'm looking for? Disgusting. And this is what they chose to do, even though the leadership told them, you know, don't make a spectacle. There's something maybe in between don't making a spectacle and don't act like idiots that could have been a little bit more professional, but they weren't going to do that. And by the way, the resistance, you know, the media folks out there that love the Democrats, which is most of the legacy media, they don't think that they did enough. They think that they should have walked out like the old dude from Houston did last night. He was the only guy shaking his fist at the president. But Carolyn was doing a briefing today talking about some of this stuff. And how could they not clap for that moment?
Democrats didn't stand to keep men out of women's sports. They couldn't even clap for a girl who got her head smashed in by a man on a volleyball court. Democrats didn't stand for an innocent and beautiful child who is surviving brain cancer. They opposed eliminating taxes on tips and Social Security. They didn't stand in favor of cutting taxes for hardworking Americans. They couldn't even clap for two mothers whose daughters were killed by illegal aliens. One of the only things that could get Democrats off their feet last night was cheering for Ukraine.
So you had a
not for America.
Oh, sorry, Carolyn, didn't mean to cut you off there. Then you had a 13-year-old cancer survivor that, you know, I want to check this. We don't know. This actually could be a kid that lives in the district that the idiot from Congress that got kicked out last night represents. But he's a 13-year-old cancer survivor, and President Trump wanted to highlight him last night.
His name is DJ Daniel. He is 13 years old, and he has always dreamed of becoming a police officer. And in 2018, DJ was diagnosed with brain cancer. The doctors gave him 5 months at most to live. That was more than 6 years ago. Tonight, DJ, we're going to do you the biggest honor of them all. I am asking our new Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, to officially make you an agent of the United States Secret Service.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And by the way, DJ Daniel said he didn't know that was coming.
I was not expecting that. Nobody even told us, even though that they knew. They didn't even want to tell us.
What would you like to say to Donald Trump?
I'd like to say thank you to him. And I hope he got his cowboy hat because I bought him a brown one from Texas.
The kid's 13 years old.
I had 13 brain surgeries, and that's how many times my personality has changed. And that's something that you don't hear from a terminally ill child. They had 5 months to live. I'm going to keep on going until my gas tanks run out. And that's when God calls you home. You never know when God's going to call you home. I would be here if it wasn't for my dad. I know he's pretty proud of me, and I'm pretty proud of him, too. And I'd like to thank President Trump, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today.
So there's no reason to not clap, and it goes beyond that. You have Nicole Wallace, who is, by any measure, one of the most embarrassing media figures in America, and has been for a long time. And this is what she says. It's shameful.
I hope he has a long life as a law enforcement officer, but I hope he never has to defend the United States Capitol against Donald Trump supporters. And if he does, I hope he isn't one of the six who loses his life to suicide.
Really? Really, Nicole Wallace? That's where you go after that moment last night. And then there's all the Democrat women, not one of whom in the United States Senate voted to protect women in sports, and they wore pink last night, which is utterly ridiculous. Here's Riley Gaines.
You see the theatrics, the performative, that's what it is. It's performance that we saw from them, wearing all the pink to symbolize standing with women. Again, this party, the Democratic Party, could not be further from being pro-woman. They are anti-woman, and they are anti-reality.
Now, I may have awarded that distinction to Nicole Wallace just a little early because listen to Jake Tapper last night. Now, keep in mind, this is the guy that's writing the book on President Biden's mental deficiencies because Jake was so on top of this story for the last 4 years, really reporting on it on a regular basis.
Never heard a president attack the opposition in a speech like this in such a pointed way, even going after to use a rather derisive nickname for Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Right, who reacted with smiles and clapping. Basically, she wasn't going to give him that moment.
Yeah, let's take a moment of silence. Dana and Jake are very sad that Pocahontas was called by her real name, Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. But let's get some takes here from our friend Selena Zito, who is back with us this afternoon. Hey, Selena, how are you?
Oh, just, you know, living the dream. How about you?
I'm good. You know, the fact checkers tell me Trump lied pretty much about everything last night. The pundits have told me that he was, you know, basically just giving a campaign speech. It was super partisan. Meantime, the people who watched the speech thought it was pretty good, didn't they?
Yeah, they absolutely did. And I have actually stopped paying attention to what pundits think, and these, not that fact-checking is, you know, something completely to dismiss, but I've just found it very, very difficult to align those things with the sentiments of people that are watching it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a big disconnect there, it seems. And there never seems to be any catching up where there's a recognition of where real people are on some of these issues.
There really doesn't. And it's still, it shouldn't be shocking after all this time, right? Nonetheless, it's still pretty shocking that these pundits, these fact checkers, these D.C. and New York-based reporters still don't quite understand what is important to people, why they have felt it is the other people that has been lying to them for decades and decades and years and years, and why they, and therefore those criticisms don't hold weight. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. Yes. And, you know, but here's the thing. You know, I got to get your opinion on this. Do you think Trump's in some risky territory here on the economy with the tariffs in particular? Because, look, I went to the grocery store today and I bought my eggs. And my eggs here in the Midwest were pretty expensive. They were like $9 for 18 eggs, probably more expensive elsewhere. But I do sense that the level of support that he has from, you know, probably a majority of the American people right now might wane a little bit if these prices don't come down.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think that's something that he's working on. I don't, you know, a lot of people find the tariff distasteful. I look at them twofold, you know, like on things like steel, those guys love this, right? They want to see tariffs, meaning, you know, the American steel companies. And cheap steel's been, you know, brought here and dumped here and forever, and I don't even mean in cost cheap steel. I mean just in the quality of the steel,
right?
And in terms of the eggs, like eggs specifically, has nothing to do with anything that the president can control.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with the avian flu, and I have been writing about the avian flu for years and the impact that it has. And I have encouraged people to go to local farms. Almost everyone lives within a few miles of a local farm and buy your eggs there. And they're not that expensive.
Yep, that's great advice, especially moving into the rest of this year, because I don't know that they're going to come down significantly because they haven't figured out how to control that flu. And they need to, you know, get the vaccine. I talked to a farmer yesterday. They need to get that vaccine into some sort of feed because it's going to be more effective that way. Hey, look, I've seen all kinds of stories in the last few weeks. 60 Minutes did a story on all these USA ID workers. There's a story today by CBS about the national parks. Your vacation is ruined because of all Trump's cuts. But Selena Zito, you wrote about something else, and you asked the question, where was 60 Minutes, where was CBS News, where was CNN, ABC News, when all these jobs came because of Biden policies, in particular in your neck of the woods in the Rust Belt, right?
Look, no one wants to see anyone lose a job, right? No one wants to see that. However, my beef is the fact that for 50 years, I have watched hundreds and thousands of people lose their job all of the time in the Rust Belt, in my backyard, in North Carolina, in the textiles, up in New England, all throughout there, just having towns completely eviscerated. And nobody showed up with a camera to tell their story. You need to have more empathy for the people spread out across the country. And here's the other thing that blows my mind. I mean, this is because I'm old, right? I'm old. I've been around. I remember things.
I'm with you.
But Bill Clinton, like, annihilated, what was it, 800,000 federal jobs? And there wasn't, you know, no one was sitting down with 60 Minutes. You know, the people that are losing their jobs, a lot of them are college-educated people that are going to go on and they're going to get a job somewhere else. A lot of the people that lost their jobs in the Great Lakes Midwest, right, were artisans. They were tradespeople. They didn't go to college, but they were good with their hands and they made things that were important to our economy and building the infrastructure in our economy. And they didn't have second options. What they had to do is move away from families, from church, from the schools that they went to, and from legacies that were very, very important to them. There is a reason there are 4,000 Steeler bars across the country.
That's right.
Not 40, not 400, 4,000, because so many people left and they missed that cultural connection that they started their own little Steeler bars in different places all over the country.
Oh, that is very true. That's an interesting number. And we have those bars here in St. Louis. Let me ask you a question on the women's sports issue. No Democrats stood up to vote for this yesterday. Even John Fetterman, and here's what he tweeted out in your state. He says, the small handful of trans athletes in Pennsylvania is a political maelstrom, deserve an ally, and I am one. Depersonalized as they, them, in a political ad. They're just school children. Empty show votes on cruelty on social media aren't part of a thoughtful, dignified solution. So he's been the voice of sanity on the Democrat side on a lot of issues. Why did he split on this one from Republicans, do you think, when that's an 80-20 issue?
I don't know. I mean, that's the short answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like a foolish decision on his part. And it doesn't matter if it's 1 or 10 or 100. And by the way, those NCAA numbers are not fully accounting for Division II, Division III. There's more than 10. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And that to put that number out there was insulting to the young people in high schools and colleges that are young women that are losing their ability to compete in a level playing field and getting physically hurt because of competing against a male, which I'm sorry, like I'm all for women's lib or whatever. A guy is just stronger than a woman.
Yeah, I don't care if it's one. I honestly don't care if it's one. It's an issue of fairness, and a lot of people who are on the same page clearly on that. All right, one final question on the media here, because the media has been the focus the last couple of weeks, as you know, in the White House briefing room, and the AP has been battling for their position because they won't say the Gulf of America, and because of that, Trump's trying to control their speech. What say ye, Selena Zito, about all this with the media right now?
We should not be the center of attention. We should not be drawing attention to ourselves. We should be reporting on the news. And when we make it about our feelings are hurt and we don't want to do this and this is our the way that we're going to do that, that's fine, but there's consequences. And for a very, very long time, the White House Press Club has been a clique. And it's been very, very hard to be allowed to be even in that room to be able to ask those questions. And so I never want to be the center of attention. I hate attention. All journalists should feel that way.
Hey, have you noticed also that, I don't know, did you listen to the Elon Musk podcast with Joe Rogan, the recent one, or not?
I have not. It's on my queue to listen to, but I haven't listened.
I haven't listened to all of it, but, you know, they talked a lot. This topic of Thomas Crooks came up, and you're writing a book about what happened that day, and you were there in Butler, but it's still so weird. Like, when are we going to find out a little bit more about this kid, Selena?
I don't know. I mean, by the way, y'all can pre-order my book. It's ready.
I told you I have. I did it a month and a half ago, so mine's coming.
But there's some things in there about the family, but we really know nothing. And the family lawyered up, so that kind of like shut that down.
It's bizarre. I'm just saying, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I think it's really, really weird. Thank you, Selena Zito, as always, for jumping on here with me in St. Louis. I appreciate it. I know you're busy today.
Oh, thank you so much. The day after an event is always a little bit crazy.
Well, you got us in, and that's very appreciated. Thank you, Selena. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Thanks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Get more at 971talk.com.